This recording, England 66, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up a kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Okay, I can tell you a story about before coming out to Australia, being a clarinet player and having had many different instruments in my time. I thought, before I leave Australia, there's one thing I must do, and that is to choose a new handmade clarinet to bring out with me here, knowing that I may never return to get an instrument. So that's what I did, and I searched out a handmade clarinet maker in the middle of Yorkshire who was operating out of a converted barn in the middle of nowhere up in the dark hills. And first time I went to see him, there was no signage on the house at all, just a tattered old barn door, and I stood there for about half an hour waiting for him to come out. He finally appeared and we had a long chat for about half a day about what I wanted and what he could offer, and he proceeded to go about making me a clarinet. And it's a bit like having a suit made in Hong Kong, in that you have to keep going back for different fittings and you talk about the kind of adjustments you'd like to have made, the kind of wood you'd like it made out of, how you want the finish on the metal components of it, the tuning characteristics that are relevant to Australia because they're different for Europe, all sorts of other peculiarities that go with having an instrument made. And after about 3 or 4 visits, finally got this instrument from him and brought it with me here to Australia, and luckily it's still in one piece, because my main concern was that the way he was storing his wood in this shed up in the foothills of the Yorkshire Dales, there was no humidity control, there was a stream running through the shed and therefore the wood was very moisture heavy. My main concern was that this instrument was going to dry out and split and be a useless piece of firewood by the time I got here, but luckily it's still in one piece.